Matkatan per galef mishnah gimel. First chapter was about the third mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer. Listen, Yaakov says, Moshchin tamayim ilan leilan. One may pull the water, so to speak, from under one tree to under another tree. The way they used to water their trees was that they used to dig around the tree, and then when it rained, so the rain would pile up in the hole, in the furrow that surrounded the tree. And those furrows that surrounded the trees were called ugiyot lagfanim. Ugiyot, like uga, like ag uga. Ug, like the term aguna. Aguna is a woman who, so to speak, put in bondage. She's held up. She's surrounded. She can't get out anywhere. She doesn't know if she has a husband or she doesn't have a husband. Her husband goes out to war and he doesn't come back, and we don't know if he's alive or dead. So she's called an aguna. Aguna means one who's surrounded. She can't get out. She's stuck in that situation. So the term ag means surrounded. So uga is from the same term. And the Mishnah doesn't record uga. That's something we saw in the first Mishnah. First Mishnah said, you're not allowed to make ugiyot lagfanim. Mishnah aleph. You're not allowed to dig around the grape trees on Chol HaMoed to have a place where the water piles up. And our Mishnah discusses a situation where you have water under one tree, in that uga, in that ugiya, you have that furrow surrounding the tree. So the Mishnah says, Rav Lezer ben Yaakov is of the opinion that one who has water under one tree may dig a small furrow to the next tree so that the water will water the other tree. This is on the condition that he won't go on to water the whole field. Because bringing it from tree to tree, that we say is no bother whatsoever. So a small amount of work, which really isn't a bother, just to like go with his foot and make a path from one tree to the next, so the water should trickle from one tree to the next, that's okay. But to start watering the whole field, all the plants that are growing in between the trees, you have all kinds of vegetation growing, so that is forbidden. That's a lot of work, and the field doesn't need it. It's not a situation of if said no obey. You're not going to have a great loss if you don't do it. The trees also don't need the water going from tree to tree, but if you do that, so then the trees will grow better, and this act is not considered an act of toil. So we discussed that one is not allowed to do tircham ruba, even if one is going to have a loss, one is going to incur a loss. So the Tana, the first Mishnah Torah, that one is only allowed to do a tircha, you're allowed to do work, but not something that's tremendously toilous. And our Mishnah is telling us that there are things that, even though they're a small amount of work, they're not even considered a toil, and even though one won't incur a loss if one doesn't do them, and one will only have a gain if he does do them, we permit it because we say that doesn't even enter the realm of a toil. That's easy work. Zira'im shelo shatu lifnei ha-mo'ed lo yashkem ba-mo'ed. Rav Lez Yaakov says that if you have things that are growing, zira'im, you have wheat or some other kind of grain growing, and you haven't watered it before the holiday. So even though ordinarily they need to be watered frequently, but these plants haven't yet become accustomed to being watered frequently. So then we say, lo yishkem b'moed. Then the fact that you won't water them over Chol HaMoed won't cause a great amount of damage, because they haven't yet become accustomed to getting water. So you don't have to water them on Chol HaMoed. What? Sure, come on in. You have a Mishnah? We're holding Moed Katan, the first chapter, the end of the third Mishnah. And Chachamim are of the opinion that one is permitted both to water the Zra'im that weren't watered before Chol HaMoed, and to water the whole field. Now, when we read Chachamim, we're automatically of the opinion this is all of our great sages' opinion. And that's not the case. Rebbe, when he compiled the Mishnah, did it together with his Sanhedrin, and he had a great Beis Medrash together working on the compilation of the Mishnah. So they decided which Mishnayot, which opinions in the Mishnah they would give greater weight to and which they would give lesser weight to. And they had, at least on the base level, they had three levels of strength they could give an opinion. The first level of strength is quoting one opinion, as though so-and-so said this. So that gives it the strength of that Tana, different Tanaim. Right? Yeah, in the Mishnah, we say everyone quoted in the Mishnah is a Tana. So one Tana's opinion, so that that's his opinion, and different Tanaim have different halachic weights. The next level is giving it the strength of... What's the wrong Mishnah? The next level is giving it the strength of as though more than one Tana had that opinion. And that's what we have in our Mishnah, saying Chachamim Umim, as though the sages said this. And that doesn't mean that necessarily more than one person held this opinion, but it means that Rebbe and his Beis Din adopted that opinion, at least enough to give it the strength of the Chachamim, as though it were the opinion of more than one sage. Mm-hmm. And then most Tanaim, we say the Allah is like Chachamim against any Tana, any specific Tana. And the third weight is the weight of Stam Mishnah. When we have a Mishnah that just quotes a halacha without quoting whose opinion it is. So that has two weights. That has the weight of the Rabbin. We say when the Mishnah quotes it, just that's the halacha. So then the Mishnah is giving it the strength as though all the sages had that opinion. So it automatically gets the weight of Chachamim. And it has another strength, which is the strength of Stam Mishnah. We have a Mishnah that says something simply. Once a Mishnah says that, it has even more of a strength than Chachamim. So Stam Mishnah against Chachamim, Stam Mishnah is more powerful. Now, our Mishnah is saying that Rebbe gave the weight of Chachamim to the opinion that says that one may water a field even though it won't incur a great loss. One may water that field on Chol HaMoed. And one may water a field, you remember we said in the beginning of the Mishnah, you're not allowed to water the whole field because that's just a profit. You'll gain if you do it, but you won't lose if you don't do it. And now Chachamim are saying, you could water a field just to make profit, and you could water a field even though that field won't incur a loss because it wasn't accustomed to being watered before the holiday. Now, this gives us a majority opinion for this opinion. But we saw that the first Mishnah was a Stam Mishnah. The first Mishnah had said that in order for work to be permitted on Chol HaMoed, we need two conditions. We need to have a situation that if I don't do that work, there will be a loss on Chol HaMoed. Not just the gain if I do it, but if I don't do it, there will be a loss. What we call hefsed merubeh, substantial loss.
What's the difference between not a gain and a loss?
A loss is when I have a principal value, and I'll lose from that principal value. A gain is when I have a principal value, and if I do this, then that principal value will go up. But I don't lose from the principal value. I don't lose from the amount of money I had at the beginning of the holiday.
So you're allowed to lose potential gains. That's not considered a loss.
Right.
If you have a
so sometimes if we ever get to the Gemara discerns between large potential gains and small potential gains. But in general, a potential gain is not a loss. Mm-hmm. When you don't gain, it doesn't mean you lost anything. You still have the same principal value. Mm-hmm. The discussion came up when they would have, let's say, a market. You'd have a fair coming by, and they're selling their goods, and in ancient times, if you didn't buy at the fair, you'd have to pay 10 times the price. So is that considered a loss or potential gain? A person is a money lender, and he makes money by lending his money to people and getting interest. So the Jews were always money lenders throughout the generations. If this money lender is going to close up shop on Chol HaMoed, all his customers are going to go to someone else, and then they may never come back. So then, is that a potential gain that he's not getting? Or do we say, no, until now he had these customers, steady customers, and that's a loss. Now he's going to lose those customers. So these are the discussions where it comes up in the Gemara, and in the Rishonim, and in the Halacha. The person says, I won't go to work Chol HaMoed. He'll get fired from work. So you could say, okay, so he won't make the money of that week, but he's going to lose his job. So that's where we start discussing greater potential gain, and that's also... Potentially, you could say he's losing from the principal. It's not money he had, but it's a job he had. So that's where the discussion comes in, also pertaining to our Mishnah. So in our Mishnah, we had Chachamim Matirim. We said we're not going to get the halacha here. Just we got to cover the Mishnah, so get a picture.
The halacha is like Rav
Eliezer. So we say that a person has to have a loss. Because we had a Stam Mishnah like Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov, because the first Mishnah was Stam, not just the power of Chachamim, but the greater strength of Stam. And that Mishnah taught us that one can only do Melacha on Chol Moed to prevent a loss, I have said Merubeh, and even when he does that Melacha on Chol Moed, he's only permitted to do a Melacha that's not of great toil, that's not Tircha Merubah. So Stam is more powerful than Chachamim. Now, we're going to just mention one more point. We have a rule in Mishnayot that when we have a machloket, like in our Mishnah, two opinions, and then a Mishnah following that is Stam. The Mishnah assumes, takes for granted, one of those opinions. So then we say machloket, v'achakach Stam. When we have machlokes in one Mishnah, and then a later Mishnah in that same Masechet is taking for granted one of the opinions, that's machloket v'achakach Stam, the halacha is kestam. Then that Mishnah is revealing to us what the halacha is. What happens if it's the reverse order? You first have Stam. You have a Mishnah that assumes the halacha is one way. And then later on you encounter a Mishnah that records a disagreement, the machlokes, whether that's the halacha or not. So then we say you don't necessarily go with the Stam. That's our situation here. We had a Stam Mishnah, the first Mishnah. Two Mishnah later we have a machloket. Nonetheless, we end up passing like the Stam. But the Stam is weakened. The Stam Mishnah, the Mishnah that just said something plainly, under the assumption that's the halacha, the second it's followed up with a Mishnah that has a machloket, it's weakened. Because it shows that Rebbe came to tell us, hey, I'm taking away some of the strength of that Stam, that's why I'm quoting this argument afterwards. I'm beginning by telling you, take this for granted, and I'm saying, wait. There's a machlokas on that. Mishnah Dalet. Our Mishnah is going to discuss a special type of animal that's called an eshut. Now, what is an eshut? It's some kind of mole, some kind of creature that was blind, couldn't see where it was going, but it could sense where it was going, and it used to destroy the trees that had fruit. So if you had an orchard, some kind of field with trees growing in it, so this creature, this eshut, would damage it. So our Mishnah says, tzadin et eshut. If a person sees on Chol HaMoed that this creature, this eshut, has found his field and it's starting to destroy his crops. So even if he doesn't see it's destroying his crops, but he sees that this creature has come to his field, so he could set up traps to capture that creature, the eshut. And one could also set traps to catch the achbarim, which is some kind of mice, rats, something like that. So one can set up traps to capture them. The Tanakhama, the first opinion in our Mishnah, says that be it a sdei ilan, a field of trees, an orchard, be it a sdei lavan, a white field, meaning a field with some kind of grain growing, because where grain grows, so when the sun shines on it, like white. That's why a field that has grain growing is called Sdei Lavan. Another understanding says that a field that has grain growing in it doesn't have trees, so it has no shade. So that's why it's called Sdei Lavan, because it's a white field. The sun splashes on the field, and you have no shade. So the Tanakhama, the first opinion, says that one can set up traps to capture these rodents. They shoot and the some kind of mouse or rat, one can set up traps to catch them both from an orchard and from a grain field. But he may only do it not the regular way. He has to do things a little bit differently. On the one hand, we say if they attack his field, that's hefsed merubeh, he'll incur great loss. So we allow him to capture them. On the other hand, Tanakhama is of the opinion that we'll only allow him to do it in an unusual fashion. We don't let him set up the traps the way he would the rest of the year. We say, being that Chol HaMoed, he has to do something to show that he recognizes it's Chol HaMoed. He's not doing work for the fun of it. He has to do things unusually. Now, the Gemara gives an example. What's Shelo Kedarko? So the Gemara says, ordinarily when you try to stick in the pole with a trap on it, so you'd bang it into the ground. When you're doing it on Chol HaMoed, so you take the stick and you push it back and forth until you like dig your way into the ground. You don't do it with a hammer. And what stick are we talking about? So there are two understandings among the Rishonim. There's one understanding that says this is the stick that the trap is on. And there's another understanding that says that this is how they'd kill the mole. They'd find its hole, and then they'd bang a stick into it, and they'd kill the mole with that stick. So ordinarily, they'd put the stick inside the hole, and they'd start banging with a hammer. And on Chol HaMoed, they'd have to mush it in and kill him that way. Yeah, that's what I thought too. I figure it's a good way to remember the Mishnah. You don't forget that kind of scene, like mushing up a mole. So the Mishnah says that one can hunt out these two creatures, these type of mice, or this eshut, be it from an orchard or from a wheat field, a field of grain, even though they damage ordinarily only orchards, the Mishnah permits us to hunt them from both of them, but the Mishnah stipulates that one has to do it in an unusual fashion. He has to do it shelo kedarko, b'moed an chol ha-moed u'vashvi'it, and in the year of Shemitah. Chachamim umrim, and our sages say, misdei ha'ilan kedarko. From an orchard, you could hunt it usually, because in an orchard, this animal is going to damage the orchard, so you have to catch this rodent so it doesn't damage your orchard. Once we allow you to catch the rodent, you don't have to do it unusually. Go ahead, do it the way you do it normally. But if you have a field of grain where it's not going to do any serious damage, it's only damaging a little bit, so then we say, you have to hunt it in an unusual fashion. If it's causing substantial damage, so then we say, hunt it normally. Set up the traps in the normal fashion. But if it's just a grain field, so then we say, that's not serious damage, do it in an unusual fashion. What happens if it's a grain field and right next door you have an orchard? So then you could do it normally, because we say the move from the grain field to the orchard is a few steps for this rodent, and very soon it'll be damaging the orchard seriously. So you could hunt it in the usual fashion. The Mishnah continues to discuss other things that we could fix on Chol HaMoed, but we have to do it in the less than professional manner. We have to do it in an unusual fashion. The Mishnah says, "Umekarin et ha-pirtza." If a person finds that in front of his garden he has a breach in the wall, so then he can't fix the wall with the mortar, the tar, the way he'd ordinarily do it, but he has to do it in an unusual fashion where he's just placing one stone on top of the other. He's not really fixing the wall, he's patching. He's putting a patch till he could really put the mortar and fix it.
Not to put the mortar.
He doesn't put the mortar on Chol HaMoed. After Chol HaMoed, he'll put the mortar in. Now, this is specifically in front of his garden. But if it's in front of his yard, where if he doesn't fix the wall, then robbers are going to come in. So then we say he doesn't have to incur any great loss. He could fix the wall in the normal fashion and prevent robbers from entering his yard. So the Mishnah says, "Umkarin tapirtzav." One can do a superficial fix for the wall that has a breach in it, b'moed on Chol HaMoed, v'ashvi'it. But during Shemitah, the seventh year, where we're not allowed to work the field, but fixing the walls, that's okay. I'm not working the field, so then boneh kedarko, one can build the wall in the usual fashion. Michal, you want to sum up Mishnah Gemo? Review?
Sure. So we said that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says that we may divert water from one tree to another by using your foot. Don't really do any strenuous work. Usually it's just to open a furrow in the ground. I think the Chachamim says we're not allowed because there might be between the trees. So
I'll sum up. You'll sum up after me.
Right,
okay. So we're talking about an orchard, and the orchard has water under one tree, and in between the tree we have other plants growing. Regarding watering all the plants in the field, so that you gain if you'd water all the plants, but there's no loss if you don't. And the trees also, if you water them, you'll gain, but if you don't water them, then you won't lose anything. So the Mishnah says, Rav Lez Ben Yaakov says, that pulling the water, making a small furrow with your foot from one tree to the next, that's not even considered labor. We say that's almost nothing. It's easy. That's an easy thing to do. So even though you're going to gain out of it, and you won't lose if you don't do it, Rabbi Lezmin Yaakov says, you could pull the water from under one leaf to the next. But you can't start watering the whole field that way, because that's already strenuous labor. And he says that you could only water plants that have been watered before Chol HaMoed, because plants, even though they might need to be watered on a steady basis, if you haven't watered them recently before Chol HaMoed, so then we say they're not going to be damaged seriously if you don't water them for the next 7 days. Even though ordinarily you say, I water this field. Yeah, but you haven't watered it for the last month, right? So another 7 days won't do any serious damage. If you water them before Chol HaMoed, then you could water them during Chol HaMoed, because we say once you started watering them, you have to continue watering on a steady basis. And Chachamim say, even though there won't be any great loss, we allow you to water the field that ordinarily you'd water, even though you haven't watered it in the last 30 days. And Chachamim say, we let you water the whole field. You want to do that, even though it's strenuous labor, we permit that. And we say the halacha is not like them. We do not permit strenuous labor on Chol HaMoed. Want to review it? Go ahead.
Review number
Gimel, what we just did.
We just did Dalet, that's so.
No, that was just Gimel. Mishnah Dalet discusses how we hunt the rodents that damage the orchards. Mishnah Dalet says.
Then we just did that one, though?
Dalet.
We did Gimel and Dalet.
We did Gimel and Dalet, yeah. Same. You want to sum up Mishnah Gimel?
Okay, well, you just did. Okay, but basically, so you were allowed to make a furrow from one tree to another for accumulation of water is around one tree, but to do more than that, well, we can't, since there's no danger that we might do more.
Why danger that we might do more?
No.
Which said it's contingent on whether you're going to have a loss or not have a loss.
Yeah, but I read later on that in orchards we don't even cure loss, because orchards usually
right,
produce
that's what
no
we said.
Water.
But the orchard, there's no loss, but because it's not considered any labor to pull the water from one tree to the next, we allow a person to pull the water from one tree to the next. So even though you won't incur a loss, that's a level that's not even considered labor. So we permit it on Chol HaMoed. You guys have any questions? I think we don't have time for another Mishnah.
Thanks.
Okay. Boker Tov.